Go a little further in the scriptures as we now turn together to our scripture lesson, as we find it in the prophet Jeremiah. We turn to the 35th chapter, chapter 35 of the prophet Jeremiah. God's word speaks to us under the leading of the Holy Spirit, recognizing this word to be inspired by the Spirit and infallible without error. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, the king of Judah. Go to the house of the Rechabites and speak with them and bring them to the house of the Lord, into one of the chambers, and then offer them wine to drink. So I took Jazaniah, the son of Jeremiah, the son of Habazaniah, and his brothers and his sons, and the whole house of the Rechabites. I brought them to the house of the Lord, into the chamber of the sons of Hanan, the son of Igdalilah, the man of God, which was near the chamber of the officials, above the chamber of Maaseiah, the son of Shalom, a keeper of the threshold. Then I set before the Rechabites pitchers full of wine and cups, and I said to them, drink wine. But they answered, we will drink no wine. For Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, commanded us, you shall not drink wine, neither you nor your sons forever. You shall not build a house, you shall not sow seed, you shall not plant or have a vineyard, but you shall live in tents all your days, that you may live many days in the land where you sojourn. We have obeyed the voice of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, in all that he commanded us, to drink no wine all our days, ourselves, our wives, our sons, our daughters, and not to build houses to dwell in. We have no vineyard or field or seed, but we have lived in tents and have obeyed and done all that Jonadab, our father, commanded us. But when Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up against the land, we said, come and let us go to Jerusalem for fear of the army of the Chaldeans and the army of the Syrians. So we are living in Jerusalem. Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, go and say to the people of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, will you not receive instruction? Listen to my words, declares the Lord. The command that Jonadab, the son of Rechab, gave to his sons to drink no wine has been kept, and they drink none to this day, for they have obeyed their father's command. I have spoken to you persistently, but you have not listened to me. I have sent to you all my servants, the prophets, sending them persistently, saying, turn now every one of you from his evil way, and amend your deeds, and do not go after other gods to serve them. And then you shall dwell in the land that I gave to you and your fathers. But you did not incline your ear or listen to me. The sons of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, have kept the command that their father gave them. But this people has not obeyed me. Therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I am bringing upon Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem all the disaster that I have pronounced against them, because I have spoken to them and they have not listened. I have called to them and they have not answered. But to the house of the Rechabites, Jeremiah said, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, because you have obeyed the command of Jonadab, your father, and kept all his precepts and done all that he commanded you, therefore thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Jonadab, the son of Rechab, shall never lack a man to stand before me. This is God's word. We recognize that the word of God stands forever. The grass will wither, the flower will fade, but the word of our God endures forever. Let's pray for the continued blessing. Grant, Father, we pray, by thy good spirit and in fatherly care, through the accomplished merits of our beloved Savior Jesus Christ, that we as thy children may be filled full of trust and hope and faith. Grant, Lord God, Almighty God, that we also through thy word then may be strengthened in such ways that when it is dark, we may trust where we cannot see, and hope where all seems doubtful, ever looking to thee as our Father, who does all things well according to thy sovereign ordering. To us, Father, it seems that the world is going over the edge. And we ponder, Lord, the unfolding of world history and our place in it. And when, Lord God, we begin to lose sight of thy sovereign hand, we pray for the grace of thy Holy Spirit to direct us again to the conviction that all things are in thy hands. All time abides thy time. And so, Lord, as we submit to the preaching of thy word, as we seek, Lord, to walk before thee in the week at hand, lead us by the light of thy word and in the light of the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Reading once again together the words of verse 13 and 14, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, go say to the people of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem, will you not receive instruction and listen to my words, declares the Lord. The command that Jonadab the son of Rechab gave to his sons to drink no wine has been kept, and they drink none to this day, for they have obeyed their father's command. I have spoken to you persistently, but you have not listened to me. So far. Congregation loved by God. If I would have asked you before we read together Jeremiah chapter 35, who are the Rechabites, would you have been able to answer? Are you familiar with the principle that Jeremiah chapter 35 teaches? Are you familiar with this small portion of God's word? Now, it is true that the story of the Rechabites is not the most well-known episode in Scripture, and yet it is one that God has given us to be a blessing to our lives. We need to remember that every Scripture lesson has a purpose. Also with Jeremiah 35, we need to be reminded that all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, in order that God's people may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Our scripture lesson is one that speaks of honor and loyalty. It is a lesson that accentuates a people who are steadfast to their word in contrast to the children of Israel. It is a lesson that calls us to uphold the covenant that God has graciously given us. The Rechabites remind us of the commitment that we are to make to our Heavenly Father and the call to live out of His covenant promises. When you read through the prophecy of Jeremiah of old, we study that prophecy, we quickly recognize that failure to keep covenant brings curse. When we live life as God designed life to be lived, there is blessing. When we go our own way, we soon find ourselves in trouble. And the people of the Old Testament congregation had heaped a lot of trouble on their own heads. And the problem can be traced to one root cause, namely that of the heart. Earlier, the prophet had prophesied that the heart is deceitful above all things. And always the heart of the issue is the issue of the heart. The heart of the issue is the issue of the heart. Your heart, my heart, in Jeremiah 35 illustrates this well. As we consider the testimony of the Rechabites, we want not simply to rehearse the story, but listen closely as to the application that we must seek to live out in our own lives. Listen to your Heavenly Father. Listen to your Heavenly Father as you are tested. Listen to your Heavenly Father in order to maintain your testimony. Listen to your Heavenly Father to live out of the blessings of obedience. As we seek to listen in that manner, We notice a testimony that is tested, a testimony that is upheld, and a testimony that is secured. Our scripture lesson begins with the word of the Lord once again coming to Jeremiah. It's a very significant. It marks a note in our reflection. Let's pay attention here. The Lord is giving an assignment to His servant. Jeremiah is commanded to go to the house of the Rechabites to bring them to one of the chambers in the temple and offer them wine to drink. Now, at first glance, we might, as it were, raise our eyebrows and ask, now, what is this all about? It seems a little odd. It seems, what purpose would this have? Now, Jeremiah does what he has been told. He's been in the school of obedience now for many years. Such obedience has brought him plenty of difficulty. This particular assignment was comparatively easy compared to previous assignments. And so Jeremiah gathers the house of the Rechabites, brings them into the chamber, and sets before them bowls full of wine with cups and commands them to drink wine. Now it appears that the clan of the Rechabites did not know what to expect when summoned by Jeremiah. But they heeded the prophet's voice. They obeyed his call. And now the Bible tells us when the Rechabites faced Jeremiah's call, at first blush, they've experienced a sense of dilemma, humanly speaking, somewhat in a spot, a quandary, a predicament. After all, the prophet has just issued a command, the prophet of the Lord. But we get no sense, however, that the Rechabites fell on what we might call a teeter-totter. Wondering what to do, their response is firm and clear right off the bat. They don't hem and haw, but they immediately and respectfully declare They cannot do what Jeremiah has asked them to do, and they are adamant. Now, why? They say no to Jeremiah because years earlier they said yes to their forefather, Jonadab. We read of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, in connection with Jehu, and you can read about that in 2 Kings 10. Jonadab, in turn, traced his lineage all the way back to the Kenites. The Kenites to Jethro. Do you remember him? Jethro, the father-in-law of Moses. The Rechabites committed themselves to a semi-nomadic life. We might say a little bit like some Amish groups. They sought to live a life of simplicity, not setting down their roots very deep. They did not establish settled communities, nor did they establish farms. And this was the wish of their forefather, and they honored his wish. And it is remarkable to note that their faithfulness to their father's desire stretched over a period of some 300 years. They listened to their forefather for a long time. Even as they faced Jeremiah, they remained strong in their conviction. They were convicted by the ancient paths. Now, all of this testimony, a rebuke against the Israelites. We remember that familiar passage that is recorded for us in chapter 6. Chapter 6, at verse 16. Thus says the Lord, stand by the roads and look and ask for the ancient paths, where the good way is, and walk in it, and find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. 17, I set watchmen over you, saying, pay attention to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not pay attention. The Rechabites' obedience was unreserved. They obeyed their earthly father, while the Old Testament church refused to obey, to listen to their heavenly father. They obeyed in earthly matters while Judah did not obey in eternal matters. The Rechabites obeyed a mere creature of the dust while the people of Judah refused to obey the Almighty Creator, mighty over all. Their restrictions did not come, the Rechabites, from God's law, but their self-imposed restrictions were a voluntary commitment. Indeed, the point of our passage does not focus on alcohol or the nomadic lifestyle, but the point is loyalty, honor. They had given their word, and they held deep respect for the family name as identified by the practice of self-denial, even as we are to have deep respect for the family name that is given to us in our baptism, in our profession of faith, and in our walk of faith as followers of Christ, his disciples. So the Word of God is telling us again this evening, be careful who we listen to. The manner of speaking, we might say, God is telling his Old Testament church, this is amazing. You, my covenant people, will listen to your pagan neighbors, but you will not listen to the God of heaven and earth. You will not listen to the God of covenant promise. Congregation, we constantly need to ask ourselves, who are we listening to? In this age of shifting sands, where churches across that are dotted across the landscape of our society are caving in. Who are we listening to? And when tested, then, who do we listen to? Think of the period of the Reformation, when the church lost sight of the voice that spoke life. To come again to a conviction of the importance of listening closely to the Word of God. And in every age there are tests, even as we prayed earlier about the darkening landscape in society with respect to the unfolding of world history. Who are we going to listen to? Who are we going to listen to when we are tested by our own government? Do we then remember what is written for us in James chapter 1? Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. Count it joy. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Indeed, you know from your own lives, from week to week, that every age has its own test. And the Christian life is filled with tests. How do we handle them? Do we, in our tests, become double-minded, as James points out, or unstable in our ways? Our tests can become massive temptations. And you know then from your own life, God sends a test. How then to respond? How then to maintain a firm resolve? What is your struggle and where are you especially tempted? Are you tempted to be a grumbler? How then will you defeat your temptation? Is alcohol your temptation? How will you stare temptation in the face and say no? Is living up to the standards of others with respect to fashion your temptation? How will you come to see that it is but a chasing after the wind? Perhaps for someone else it is the big ticket purchase to get the adrenaline flowing. How will we then learn to evaluate our own motives? We're not to lose sight of the prayer that the Lord Jesus has taught us to pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We need to remember that in of ourselves, we are too weak to hold our own, even for a moment. And our sworn enemies, the devil, the world, and our own flesh never stop attacking us. That's how important it is for us to ask the Lord to uphold us and make us strong with the strength of the Holy Spirit so that we may not go down to defeat in this spiritual struggle but may firmly resist our enemies until we finally win the complete victory. Now, the Rechabites understood something of what it was to stand up against temptation. They did not let the culture of the day dictate how they were going to live. They didn't let the culture that surrounded them determine the parameters of their own lifestyle. Now, certainly our culture is constantly taunting us. Join in. Be like us. We allow our young people to be consumed by sports. How much time do we end up wasting on Facebook? What about this cell phone, this so-called smartphone, glued into the hands of many of our young people, but not only young people? Perhaps the sharpest point of attack in culture is that concerning the confusion in society with respect to gender. Or is the sharpest point of attack political correctness? pagan secularism. Perhaps it's all tied together under the banner of rebellion against God, a fist against his word of authority, his word that brings life. How is it we get caught up in the spirit of the age? What does it mean for us to be counterculture? That's what the world needs from us, to be counterculture. As we seek to be disciples, pupils of the Lord Jesus Christ. Combining Christianity with the attitudes of the world results in canceling our Christian conviction. We are to find the narrow way. The broad way will find itself. Self-denial is the call of the Christian to fight against the spirit of the age. And certainly the Israelites allowed themselves to get up, caught up in the spirit of the age over and over again. We all need to answer the question, what's the relationship between culture and Christianity? And how is Christianity to influence culture? And how must we guard against culture neutralizing Christian culture? What does it mean for church to influence the world? Always systematic unbelief must be met, must be answered by systematic belief. And in that step of faith, to be that set apart people, a distinct people, a people who know what it is to truly be Christian, both in belief and practice, to pray that the Lord would protect us, that we would be guarded from becoming a go with the flow type of people. These are the kind of questions that the believer must ask himself or herself in every age. Now, one of the dangers we face is what some would call the spiral of silence. You ask, what is that? The spiral of silence affects those who fear social isolation to the point that they generally go along with what they consider the popular opinion of the day, even if they initially objected to that opinion themselves. And instead of speaking up, they remain silent. Their silence encourages others to remain silent, and so the spiral continues. The Rechabites did not keep silent. They stood up to the test, or we might say they stood the test up. And the scriptures call us to step outside the spiral of silence. If we are silent, is it any wonder that society at large has gone to pot, pun intended? How important it is to hold to the confidence of the Christian worldview as it is defined by the Holy Scriptures, not just because it is true for Christians, but because it is to be the norm for all of society. The Ten Commandments are not only for Christians, they are for everybody. And we are not to be embarrassed by the biblical worldview. That worldview given to us by our Father in heaven for our good and for the good of all people. The Rechabites stood firm. They did not waver from their commitment. And what a challenge that is to us. And we then need to reflect on this question. How are we answering the challenge to the culture that we are a part of? It's so easy to blend in. How firm are we in our commitment? How much of the lie of culture have we swallowed? And do we apply the standards of God's word to our decision making? We cannot serve two masters. It'll either be one or the other. And the church must lead the way in showing a better way. Now, historically, that has been in the building of hospitals. or in the care of those who are in the sunset of their lives. It was the Christian witness of William Wilberforce that broke down the walls of slavery in Great Britain. It is the Christian who must keep speaking for the voiceless, bearing witness to the fact that life is sacred from conception to natural death. It is the Christian that must be faithful to holding to the truth, all of it, not picking and choosing, speaking the truth in love. Now, our scripture lesson closes with a wonderful promise to the Rechabites, as we find it in verses 18 and 19. But to the house of the Rechabites, Jeremiah said, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, because you have obeyed the command of Jonadab your father and kept all his precepts and done all that he commanded you, therefore thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Jonadab the son of Rechab shall never lack a man to stand before me." So this testimony which has been tested, which has been approved and commended, is also secured. There's the promise of the perseverance of the saints. And the Lord promises that there will always be someone from the family line that would stand before him. The Rechabites are rewarded, Judah is judged, and what a blessed promise given to the Rechabites. But lest we think that our scripture lesson is only an historical account, that our scripture lesson promotes works righteousness, we confess that every sin is an act of covenant breaking, and every sinner, such as you and I, are a covenant breaker. Do we make the covenant null and void when we sin? Oh, thank the Lord. Thank the Lord that the mystery of God's grace, the mystery of God's grace, is that he continues to keep his covenant even when we break it. And ultimately, the one that has stood before the Lord is the Lord Jesus himself. Ultimately, it is because Christ has perfectly listened to his heavenly Father. Ultimately, it is because Christ has perfectly kept covenant on our behalf that we find our relationship with God. Jesus perfectly fulfills the heavenly Father's will and congregation. That as we reflect on these matters, as we ponder these great truths, as we seek the Holy Spirit to stir our hearts, that we would remember over and again Christ and his perfect work. Over and over again, we must turn to Christ who has perfectly upheld the Father's will. Over and over again, we must learn what it is to rest and rely on Christ's perfect benefits. How beautiful the testimony of our Lord, even as he wrestled with his Father's will, was faithful to the end for our behalf. And in heaven above, he intercedes for us. He's standing before the Father, pleading our cause, perfecting our prayers. He is the one who has stood in our place. He is the one who has listened perfectly to the Heavenly Father. And so, congregation, trust the Lord, not only when times are well, but also when you're in the test. Believe the gospel. Hold tightly to the promise. Yes, God calls us to be faithful in faith, to be faithful in practice, to exercise the faith. That's why when we pray, "Thy will be done," we ask the Lord to help us to reject our own wills and to obey His will without any back talk and the recognition that God's will alone is good. That's why we pray for the Lord's help to carry out the work we're called to do in the kingdom of God as willingly and faithfully as the angels in heaven. But ultimately, we need to see that the closing of our scripture lesson is really a foreshadowing of Christ. We need to see Christ in Jeremiah chapter 35, because it's only Christ who has perfectly upheld God's holy law in every aspect. And what an encouragement that must be to us. There is a man in the flesh representing us in heaven. And it is only Christ that can stand for us before the Father in order that the not guilty sentence be conferred. And what a comfort it must be to us that Christ at the right hand, and that the Father rules all things through Him. May God indeed be praised. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for Thy word. We thank Thee, Lord, for the conviction that Christ stands for us, that He intercedes, that He has listened to His Heavenly Father in full perfection. Help us to listen, Father, when we face the test. Help us to listen so that our testimony would not be ruined. Help us to listen in order that we may be obedient to Thy holy will, all the while looking to our Savior for help and strength in the power of the Holy Spirit. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.